I'll just pick the batter off.
No, don't mind me. Don't mind me. I'll just pick the batter off.
Don't mind me. No, I'm all right.
Welcome to the.
I had a teaspoon of salt before I left the house. I'm not hungry.
Welcome to the gluten-free. We call Toby G.I. Jane because he's gluten intolerant.
I'm just generally intolerant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
it goes with your personality type.
Just across the board.
Because this is Adam, Scott, Toby, Wes. Wes suggested that we record this at the worst cafe in Victoria, the Golden Tower.
I thought it'd be fun.
Which,
and they have really good potato cakes.
Which we call the Golden Shower.
It's open 24 hours.
24 hours a day.
And there's a lot of Bain Marie in there.
There's so much Bain Marie.
A lot of Bain Marie.
And Toby just vehemently refused.
Yeah, I just put the fatwa out. No.
Fagwa.
With the fagwa. Fagwa. We're not going. Yeah. I know you guys want to go, but we're not going. You can go, but I won't go.
And I suggested that maybe we should force him to go, because then there'll be like recording a whole podcast with Grunty McFarlane.
Yeah, yeah. You ordered a she-had.
That's right. I wouldn't have gone.
No, I know. I know. Now, last podcast we touched on going to Korea.
Oh, yes.
Which I know you did, Toby, because it's long been a desire of yours.
It has been.
Lover of K-pop that you
are. I don't want to bore everyone with holiday stories, but it's true. I love K-pop so much that I went to Korea for a week just to see K-pop concerts.
And? Did you fall down a drain or and like those people?
That was in a shopping centre. That could have happened to the stars of Home and Away.
Oh, fair enough.
And I did. There was this... As luck would have it, there was this one week where there were like sort of half a dozen really good K-pop concerts all in a row, all in the one week. Because it was like a Korean Independence Day, so it was like a long weekend.
Oh.
So all these concerts kicked off in the same week, so I went there to see as many of them as I could.
Oh my God.
And it was so good. You know, like sometimes you go like on a holiday or to an event or something with like really high expectations.
And you go, oh.
And it doesn't quite... It surpassed them. Absolutely exceeded them.
Oh, my God.
So better than that Jedward concert we went to.
A little bit better than the Jedward concert. Slightly better than the Jedward concert.
So give us an idea. How big are these concerts? Like how...
They were stadiums. They were stadium concerts.
Wow.
Oh,
so the biggest one we went to was in like the Olympic Stadium. So that was like 80,000, I think.
Oh, my God. The 88 Olympic Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was the YG family concert for any K-pop fans. Or YG. Big Bang and 21 Live. Well, there's three. The whole K-pop industry is dominated by three major record labels.
Right.
There's SM, YG, and JYP.
Right.
And these are the three that sign all the acts and tussle it out.
Like the sound of S&M.
And they do these. They do these family concerts where they do like a showcase
of their best acts.
See, I was thinking of like the Brady Bunch, kind of, you know, I think I'll go for a walk outside, you know, like those family kind of.
Oh, no.
As soon as you say family, it's like, there's going to be children.
Yeah.
So there's these big sprawling, like 4 or 5 hour long showcase concerts of all the acts on their label.
So a bit like the Fox FM Rumba concert.
Exactly.
A bit like that.
Of 2001.
And so all three of them had concerts in this week. And I went to two. I couldn't get tickets for SM, but I'm not really into many SM acts anyway. So we went and saw YG and JYP. So YG was in the 88 Olympic Arena, 80,000. JYP was in like a 15,000 seat stadium.
Oh, like Rod Laver.
SM was in the World Cup stadium.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so they're like big concerts.
And are they huge like production values? And
yeah, monstrous.
Right. Which would have probably been thrown together at the last minute because Korea, A, does not do anything in halves. B, throws everything together in the last minute and it looks really unorganized.
We should point out,
all of a sudden everything goes bam.
Wes lived in Korea for a year, was it
12
months?
In 2003.
Yeah.
And I did, so can I just add on to the kind of the concept thing, which was, I was like teaching English there, but I thought I want to do a performance, right? So I contacted the Seoul Fringe Festival, because I thought, you know, well, I do Fringe in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, to be honest, there wasn't much English speaking going on, and I didn't speak Korean at that point, so there's a lot of hand gestures.
Yes.
But basically, they
I'm just imagining the hand gestures. Yes. A lot of it's just you standing there wanking. That's pretty much the show.
They said, yes, we'll put you on this stage in Seoul, for the Seoul Fringe Festival. And I was thinking, oh, there'll be, you know, 50 people there. I got together with this guy. We rehearsed a couple of songs, one of them being Hit Me Baby One More Time on piano. I'm wearing big platform shoes and a big fur jacket, right? Yeah, right. 2003 South Korea. And I rock up. 3,000 people.
Wow.
3,000 people. Because also, do you know Big Mama? So Big Mama's like old K-pop, I think.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And so she was on as well. But I was just... I freaked the fuck out.
Oh, my God.
This would not happen in Melbourne.
No.
Like, you don't... You know what I mean?
3,000 like is like the entire audience for all of Fringe.
Yeah. And it's just... it's like this, people just go to stuff.
Just
and
turn up.
Make it. Yeah, it was amazing. It was one of the best experiences.
Did you go
where
down
was
well?
It? Where was the stage?
Like, it was an outdoor gig as well. Yeah. So it was in, near Itaewon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's certain districts where people just go out.
Right.
Like, there's this district called Hongdae, which is just, it's like sort of a super Brunswick street. And it's just thronging with people.
Area.
Yeah. That's the university area. Because as well as these big stadium concerts, we went to all these little... We just got pissed and went to gigs.
Yeah.
So as well as these stadium concerts, we went to all these little, like, basement bar, these little underground.
Yeah. Awesome.
There must be thousands of these little 100-seat band rooms
in Seoul.
Is it
because they're, people live in tiny little apartments?
Yes.
And it's like, well, yeah, I can't be here all day.
Yeah.
And all night.
There's 24-hour shopping centres.
Yeah. You know. I would love that shit.
When you're driving from the airport, there's just, like... Just column after column after column of these huge apartment blocks that apparently everyone lives in and commutes for hours to go to work in the city and then commutes all the way back.
Well, do you know what I love? Because it also makes sense. So I lived in a place called Sunbon, right? But which was a newish city.
Yeah.
But all of the buildings just have a number on it.
Yeah.
So it's so easy. So it's just like massive. If
building
you imagine
four, building 12.
Modern fabulous versions of commission flats,
yeah.
Right, for miles. And then you just... But it's just easy. It's just got 1, 2, 3, 4.
I live in
four
number
on the
8.
Buildings. Yeah. Totally easy to find. But more importantly, did you go to Homo Hill?
Yes, I went to Homo Hill.
What is Homo Hill?
Can I start with the 2003 version of Homo Hill? Because I want to see if it's different.
People need to know that Homo Hill, there's this one street. There's not really any gay bar. Well, they're,
right.
Okay. All the gay bars are in this little strip called Homo Hill, right?
Actually, and, Homo Hill?
Yeah, like on maps, it's marked as Homo Hill.
Oh, it's marked
by the way,
as that?
Yeah. Next to a little strip called Hooker Hill.
Yeah.
Wow, great.
Okay, like, it's so got
Hooker
a name.
Hill and Homo
it's got
Hill.
A name like, you know, Garangdo or whatever. Yeah. But on proper tourist maps and things, it's known as Homo Hill. Like, the official tourism brochure mentions Homo Hill.
What is the, you know, like, given that you were employed there, what were you told about homosexuality?
Okay, it doesn't exist.
Right.
No, it's a different scenario. This is, okay, I can only refer to 2003. It may be different now.
Right.
When I was there, it was like, it was, there's two sides to this. It was amazing because men are so affectionate with each other publicly. Like men, you know, working.
Just bum each other off.
Well, that's absolutely probably. But men are walking down the street holding hands and are very affectionate with each other, but it's not in a homo way.
Right, no homo. Right.
It's, but because. No homo. Homosexuality does not exist, or if it does, it's not talked about. So, and this is where, this is once again 2003 and a massive generalization, but I think it's quite on mark. So that means that people have more of an openness to being affectionate with the same sex because you couldn't possibly be gay.
Well, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. It's just not a thing.
And also the kind of context too is that, like, there is, yes, there's Homo Hill with, like, a strip of, you know, a dozen gay bars or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's the middle of Itaewon, which is like this sort of, well, I don't know what you think about it, Wes, but it's this horrible little pocket of Western world in the middle of Seoul.
It's the GI area.
Yeah, a lot of it. There's thousands of American soldiers stationed there because of the North Korean thing. So that's where they all go. So it's like if there was a little strip of the Gold Coast of Surfers Paradise in the middle of Fitzroy, you know, it would be in Itaewon. So Homo Hill exists and there are gay bars, but it's kind of in this bit of a bubble where you wouldn't really go if you were a normal Korean.
What are the gay bars like?
How are the headquarters for you, Toby?
Headquarters in Sydney is a very different proposition.
Yes, it really is.
Well, you know, to be honest, after being there a year, I got to get to know, because I would go every weekend to Homo Hill. And also one of my friends who was living there was going out with Yongsu, a Korean guy who knew the whole strip and was kind of like the head of the mafia of the gay strip.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So there was a whole kind of like, you get to, once you've been there a couple of months, you just know everyone in that scene.
Yeah, I reckon there's about 12 out gay people in Seoul.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. And particularly, you know...
Oh, it would be great because they would have run out of each other. You know, they've just gone through the whole thing. Crash me.
Particularly if you're Western too, because you do, even though you're saying, you know, that the area is a lot of Westerners, you still stand out like a ticket ball.
Yeah, you do.
As a Westerner, yeah. And so you kind of people know you the first night you go out, which wasn't great for me because I had a meltdown and started crying on the first night I was there. Oh, I got homesick, and then my friends were like,
"Where's he?
You shouldn't have done that because they will remember that
yeah, as the crying guy."
Took me 6 months to get sex after that. And it was at a sauna, but that's a whole other story. Oh,
okay. Don't touch
the saunas. There are very different.
yes, of course.
Don't suck off the Suki Lama.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's all right. Tears are a lubricant. That's fine.
I don't want to know how you found that out.
But I just
told me.
Hear a conversation between a couple of Korean homies going, "Yes, I wanked myself with the tears of a Western."
Oh my God!
Salty,
you
salty white tears.
Yeah. Those round-eyed tears.
But I just thought. I mean the. When I was there, the homie here was just like any other. Like, the gay bars were just like any other.
It's shit. It is shit. I went there on...
Why are all gay bars shit?
Yeah, they just are.
I went there on, like, a long weekend. Like, it was the Friday night of a long weekend. And I went there, and they're these dire little toilet holes.
Oh.
They're, like, the size of, you know, a bedroom. There was no one there. I ended up...
Like Tassie.
Yeah, like Tassie. Yeah. Like Tassie.
I've been doing breakfast radio in Tassie.
Some guy, just because we were the only people in the bar, chatting to some guy, an interior designer from Hong Kong, who spent the whole time just saying, "You know, everything's better in Japan. The men are hotter. The saunas are cleaner. We should be in Japan. I wish we were in Japan.
Oh, wow.
We should be in Japan." And in a little bit of, you know, karmic justice, 4 days later, I would be... awfully hungover, terminally hungover at Seoul Airport going home and see him walking down the concourse and have to hide behind a newspaper in a Gloria jeans. So screw you, Homo Hill.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was like Hobart. Yeah. There's like six bars on the hill with just these sort of little tin pot joints playing tinny music.
I find it weird because the rest of their culture is so camp. You'd think their gay culture would be...
Mm.
Maybe it's a reaction against that, you know, gay culture...
Or maybe that's why their normal culture is so camp. Maybe that's why K-pop is so camp, is because, like Wes said, you know, homosexuality is just, doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's... No one questions six men hanging out with each other doing identical dance moves.
No one questions doing the bus stop. Yeah.
I think on our last night there, we might have accidentally stumbled into, like, an underground lesbian bar.
Oh,
wow.
That would be scary.
Caresbians.
It was this crazy night, right? We were just sort of bouncing around town. And before we'd gone there, we'd read about this group of people that threw parties called the Hunters, right? And there were photos
that
of
that worries me already.
Throwing these extravagant, big, glamorous, super nightclub parties, right? Yeah. So we're banging around a university district called Konkuk, which is kind of like Sydney Road kind of vibe. And we see this bar, and it's got Hunters written across the front of it, like with their logo and stuff. And we go, "Oh, maybe that's a Hunters bar. We should go down there." And so we go into the bar, and originally they wanted to charge us, like, it was like a bottle bar. This is the big thing there.
Oh, yeah, where you buy a bottle of vodka.
You buy like a $90 bottle of vodka, and that's what it is. And they wanted to do that. No. And they said, "Okay, dancing only $10. So
dancing only
$10.
$10,000 won. Dancing only $10,000. So we go in there for dancing only. Okay, what do we care? It's like 2 o'clock on a Saturday night or whatever. It's just like a shitty basement bar, like 100 seats big, with this guy playing like fully, you know, little furry pant techno kind of thing. And at the time, I didn't really pay attention, but in retrospect, there seemed to be a lot of young ladies with very masculine haircuts
and boots
and all that kind of gear, which you just don't see. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's very girly in summer dress and stuff. And so, in retrospect, I wonder whether that was like a bit of a official, not official.
Yeah.
Lesbian, not lesbian.
It was like Muff Hunters.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just where the girls from Bunnings went after work.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe that's all it was.
There is a lot of official, unofficial going on in areas of South Korea.
So I wondered whether, like, Homer Hill might be one thing, but whether the actual gays are...
Totally. There are... They've got a plan. There are places going on. Yeah.
So is it... Like, when you say it doesn't happen, like, what's the legal situation? Like, what if you got caught up someone?
I don't think it's like go to jail.
Right.
No, I think it's more just because just culturally, it's kind of it's like not... My understanding is that all Koreans are brother and sister.
Right.
So like you're so
you don't
related.
Even, like they, you don't even
so they're
have...
not actually related, but it's like if you do something that you're not meant to do in front of another Korean irrelevant if you know them, it's like doing it in front of family.
Right.
And so it's like, more about shame and about kind of...
Yeah,
like my friend Yong-soo,
someone by your family.
Like, now lives with his boyfriend who's from Melbourne.
Yeah.
But he's, will like, no, has no connection to his family whatsoever. Like, when he, as soon as it's like he's gay, it's like no... That's which it. Can happen. It happens in a lot of places. But I think this is more...
So the cultural law is stronger than the actual law.
Yeah. I don't think there's an actual law of like you're going to go to jail.
There's no sodomy law.
Look, put it this way, right? One of the concerts I went to see, there was a band on called 2AM, right? Mm. Who are like a sort of a four tenors kind of thing. They're like a ballad band, right? They sing like really heartfelt love songs in suits and ties.
So kind of like, you know, shit country music.
Yeah, well, I love them. I stand for 2AM.
Right.
But they're really... Really sort of sincere about things, right? And then later on the concert, there's four of them. Each one would do like a solo number, right? So Changmin did like a Maroon 5 or something, and Sungol came out and did like a Queen number or something like that. Yes. And there's this one guy in the band called Joe Kwon.
Yeah. Is he the dream boat?
I recommend you get across. Joe Kwon is the maknae. Every band's got a maknae, which is the young cute one. So here's the maknae. So for everyone done like Maroon 5, Queen, whatever. Joe Kwon comes out for his number and he's wearing a baby blue brocade sort of top coat, with a bare chest, high heels, and does Lady Gaga's Telephone. So
he was the Wes.
Nudge, 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 Korea. No gays here.
Yeah.
Stop calling. No gays here.
Wow. No gays here. So, yeah. So if we were 2AM, we'd definitely be Wes.
Yeah. And the rest of us would be arrested.
But yeah, I don't think... I mean, for example, like Homer Hill's not raided or anything like that. There's none of that. I mean, it's... What it would be rated for is drugs.
Yeah.
Like, as in, there was a guy there who was found with... When I was there, that was found with one pill and he got, like, 5 years
in prison. Oh, my God.
So I think it's, like, very, very hardcore on the drug situation.
But do you know what? If you go to Korea, you don't need drugs because booze is practically given away free.
And not to mention the neon... That the just exists visually.
It's like
visual ecstasy.
Oh my god. I love neon. I love South Korea.
It's really great. It's really great.
I miss it.
And talk to me about the boys. Go on.
Says the man who's rimming a 26-year-old.
Hey, I'm not doing it now.
Walk off for about 5 minutes
before.
Everyone is super hot.
Yeah.
It is
shoulders
one.
And,
and dapper. So dapper.
Well turned out.
Yeah.
I've heard that because the K-pop thing is so huge, like pop stars and stuff, and they have all had, you know, they wear a lot of makeup, the boys. Is it true that, like, guys have surgery on their eyes and wear makeup and it's like that's a whole big thing? Like
men wearing makeup a lot when I used to wear makeup there because it was a thing.
Yeah,
like man foundation.
Man foundation.
Yeah, and it was lots of men wore foundation, but not in a. It certainly was not in a.
It's not in a gay.
It didn't look. Now that I think about it, it wasn't like people. Oh my god, there's people wearing makeup.
I didn't notice anyone wearing makeup.
So it's not like full drag makeup.
But that's what I mean. You probably wouldn't.
Probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But it's about lightening your skin, though.
But there's a lot of surgery about, but it's usually making it looking more Western.
Yeah. There's like a weird race shame going on, like which I find bizarre.
Like in Busan, we went to Busan for a couple of days, and that's like a whole medical tourism centre.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. And
did you get And foreskin.
Vanessa, yeah, I got my foreskin replaced.
Yep.
He's transitioning,
yep,
into transitioning a man.
Yeah. And Vanessa was walking down the street, and women were waiting outside the surgeries, like grabbing her and going, I want that. I want the eyes. I want the eyes.
Just pointing at...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's still a bit of a novelty. White's still a bit of a novelty.
Yeah.
Like, we would occasionally get, like, double takes in the street and stuff. Like, oh, shit, white guy.
Oh, no, they just be going,
also, I don't know
sad
if this silly
in the K-pop t-shirt.
Who was that ridiculous old man wearing this girl
wearing
band
his
t-shirt?
Super Junior t-shirt.
Yeah. I don't know if this still exists now, but there definitely was a thing when I was there about getting on television that people would have to get their eyes done
to get on
to be
TV
a television personality.
Wow. That's freaky.
It's like kind of the early days of Australian TV where you needed to have a plummy English accent.
Yes, you needed to be slightly British, yes, to get on television, yeah, or to read the news.
Wow.
Now, can we talk about the saunas?
Yes.
The saunas.
To
put this in context, like, so 2003, so I was 23. Right. And four.
It feels weird you talking about 2003 and it being over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that is confronting.
Yeah, it's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, and so when so I just saw the like
oh you thought the sauna was like a sauna.
Well, yeah, because I was young. I didn't know what I mean. Yeah,
so right, you went in there, mouth agape, looking for glory hole.
Douche ahoy, and
and then but two things.
I love this
mixed
already.
And children.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I hightailed it out of there pretty quickly. It's a whole different book.
Wow.
Because is that the same thing as like with because the flats are so small, no one's got much of a bathroom. So you go to the sauna.
Kind of like that kind of Japanese bathhouse thing.
Yeah. But wow, it's fucking fantastic, right?
Yeah, they're great.
Do they wash you? Is it like Japanese bathhouse? Like, does someone come
no,
and
you
wash
you? You can get it done. Yeah, you can get like a scrub or whatever.
Wow. Like some big sumo wrestler type slapping you around with a birch twig.
I went to one. I went to one in Busan, which is like the biggest in Korea or whatever. And it's like a theme park. Like, they had these full-on grottos. Like little these artificial caves with different pools. And so this one is like the 39-degree sauna and this one's the 42-degree sauna.
Wow.
And this one's the champagne. They infused it with champagne.
What?
This one's rose water.
Oh, God,
and
we should do a podcast
kind of
in
gear.
The champagne infused.
Yeah. So you do your little sauna bit, but then they've got like a mixed bit that you go through. They give you like these little pajamas that you put on, you go to the mixed bit. And then the mixed bit has got like a sleeping room and like an oxygen room and a cafeteria, and some of them have got a cinema. So apparently what the go is, and it's like $8.
Right.
So apparently the go is, if you're a little bit pissed and you just can't be fucked going home, you pay $8 and you stay overnight
sleep
at the sauna.
And again, when I lived in Rosebud,
that's what you did at Club 80.
Subway sauna in Melbourne.
Yeah. Right.
You can lock the door.
Yeah. But you didn't.
You can lock the door and have a relaxing night's sleep while they're playing like Rihanna at
Oh dear. Korea sounds like fun.
Yeah,
should we have another letter?
We should go. Do a talking puffy excursion to South Korea.
To South Korea.
Oh yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's go now.
In the champagne sauna.
Now here we go. Hold on to your pearls.
Okay.
Long time listener, first time caller. I have a serious question to ask. Uh-huh. I am a almost 40-year-old man. So 43.
43.
Yeah.
Almost 40-year-old man with a 12-year-old nephew. We're very close and are great mates. He is the light of my life. The only thing is, he doesn't know I'm gay. I don't even know if he knows that boys can like boys. I'm very open in my life. You can see my gayness from space. And I want to be completely honest with him. I don't know how and when I should come out to him. How do I tell him that his uncle likes guys? Your help and advice will be very much appreciated.
Great question.
Yeah, good question.
From Bevan in Sydney.
I reckon, don't make a big deal out of it. There's nothing worse than sitting down with a 12-year-old and talking about anything about sex and trying to make a big deal of it. Because I'll just go...
Well, they don't care about anything that's not Minecraft anyway.
But I reckon that, you know, like, kids these days are, you know, if he's got a gay uncle and he
hangs around with his gay uncle,
then clearly his parents haven't been filling him full of homophobia bullshit.
Yes.
I think he's going to be a pretty okay kid about
I think he probably twigged already.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's 12 and he lives in the world. Yeah. He's got to know.
Just don't make, just drop it one day. Just, you know, just, oh, you know, oh.
Well, I mean, ultimately.
I went on a date or something.
It's
or,
like, as much as, you know, you want to feel that it's your position, it's your, it's the parents' job.
Yeah.
And it's their responsibility. I had a gay uncle. I still do have a gay uncle. And the way that all transpired was my drunken asshole of a father was being a drunken asshole and said, yeah, that's because your Uncle Paul's a poofter. And I was like, Mom, guess what Dad just said about Uncle Paul? And Mum's gone, well, he's my brother and I love him no matter what. Like, whatever your idiot father says, I don't care.
Yeah.
And that was the moment that, because I'd already been having these feelings, that I went, oh, things might be all right after all.
And how old were you then?
Oh, I would have been like 13, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Like 12, 13. Like, you know, when, you know, that age that you start to want to put your dick in things.
yeah, right.
It never stops. Once
that starts, it never ends.
Yep. It's like herpes. It doesn't go away.
It doesn't.
Yep.
And yeah, and I think it's annoyingly the parents' responsibility. As much as you want to think.
Or to at least talk to the parents about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's your kind of approach to this? In the same way that how are they going to tell, you know, their kids about the sex meaning of life? Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. But I think that kids are much more savvy than we
you,
think
you
they
would
are.
Think in this day and age, a 12-year-old who watches...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And unlike when we were 13, there are actual... sort of models.
Yeah, yeah, it's not just Mr. Humphreys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's not underplay Mr. Humphreys, though. Right.
And it's not inconceivable to a 12-year-old that a gay person might be in their orbit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially, like, his school friends will be talking about it or...
Yeah.
Or
I guess the,
not necessarily
I mean,
this guy, but someone.
The best, like, the best thing probably is that, obviously, this hasn't come up, but he's not using the word gay as a, you know... as a rude word.
He's not going, oh, that's so gay. That's so gay.
Yeah.
Which implies that he must know that, A, that that's a bad thing to say and it might upset his uncle.
Yeah.
Or maybe he knows that it's a bad thing to say and it just might upset people.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Hopefully. But I actually heard the a little while ago, I heard some kids on the tram and they were kind of teasing each other, but their teasing word, the word that they kept throwing at each other, is like, oh, it was homophobic. Oh, you're homophobic. Shut up, you are. No, you are. Oh, you are. And
that's
I was like, that's fantastic. It's so nice to hear that as opposed to that's so gay, that's so gay. It's like, no, you're homophobic.
You're
shut
so
up, you are.
I'm scared of having a dick up your bum.
Yeah. I am not. Look. but that was really
nice. I said to dive through the wall in the toilet.
and a little while ago, I like ran a workshop at a high school in Melbourne. Oh, quite a prestigious high school.
She's going to jail. Listen to Andy Muirhead.
Oh, God. No. With my friend Greg Cooper, we ran like an improv workshop at quite a prestigious...
Oh, my God. Are you like legs akimbo?
Toad. Put yourself into a child. Yes. But we ran this workshop and really, it was the gayest school. It was a boys' school and there was just so much campness going on.
Yeah.
Particularly amongst all the kids who were in the improv group.
So was that
group.
Wesley?
Yes. But then we judged their improv competition and I was so kind of heartened because there were just kids in drag, like, you know, dressed up. And it was so, so gay. But the kids had to come up with a scenario for this one character and it was just amongst themselves. There was no input from us. And the scenario they came up with was, oh, he's on his way to marry his life partner. As opposed to girlfriend, fiance, whatever. He's on his way to marry his life partner. I was like, we're in good hands, you bunch of fags. But,
the future's far.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, there's just like there's so much kind of gay going on in the younger generation.
Yeah, so true.
That I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah, I doubt that he hasn't come across unless his parents are rampant homophobes.
But
he wouldn't be in his room hanging out with.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I think maybe the parents talk to the parents. Say, does he know? What's the story? Have you talked to him about this kind of shit?
Yeah. Maybe say to the parents, you know, what does he know? Has
and
he
maybe
brought
they
it
can
up
just
or
drop
something
it in.
Like that?
But if he makes a big deal out of it, then it's going to be a big deal.
But said that exactly. Like, is there a point in bringing it up? Like, ideally, we live in a world where it doesn't need to be brought up. So does it need to be brought up at all unless it's an issue?
The only reason to bring it up is if it's an issue.
If he, for some reason, if nephew says, uses gay in a derogatory way or whatever, yeah, and then
or
say, well,
asks,
actually,
when are you going to marry a lady?
Yeah. Well, in which case, I think just don't just say
that's when you.
Well,
don't.
I don't like girls.
I don't do them. I mean, but I think if he's 12 years old, this kid is about to enter a zone where he could give less of a fuck about his family than anything else on earth. So it's probably, like, I understand that our correspondent feels a bit self-conscious about it, perhaps, or something like that. But I think the kid probably is already aware and doesn't mind or doesn't care.
I think there is definitely that. I've got an 18-year-old nephew, and absolutely, in the last 10 years, like, it's been... When we're doing family stuff, like, I'm like completely aware of whether Josh knows or not.
Right.
Like, as in, I am a bit self-conscious going, oh my God, because he's very country boy, you know, footy country boy. He's got lots of blokey friends, and I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, what his opinion is of it. But it hasn't come up, so I haven't bothered to.
It's not like he doesn't know. He has met you.
Yeah.
He's also met Tina Del Twist.
Yeah, right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Which is a character I play. But yeah. So,
she's a character I play.
She is a character I play.
She's not. She's a character that inhabits you. That he's already there.
It's your drag name. Yeah. Come on.
But also, one.
I love when Wes refers to Tina like she's a real person.
She is a real person.
She is totally a real person.
It's just you being relaxed. It's not a character.
Wes in a wig.
It's just Wes in a wig.
Wes in a wig at the bottom of a goon bag.
It's just when Wes is happy.
But I was just thinking, though.
Comes out now.
This kid, if he's that close to his nephew, and his nephew is 12, his nephew's probably kind of just approaching puberty.
Yeah.
And if he's so close to his uncle, he might be the person that the kid goes to ask about sex, because you never ask your parents.
No.
No. But he might be the kind of uncle,
he's probably a groovy uncle, because
you ask those sticky questions to. Yeah. So maybe
uncle always gave us more money than anyone else.
Because he had more.
Because he
had no kids. Exactly.
But you know,
he had a deli in Port Melbourne.
He might bring it up. Like, the kid might ask you something, or there might be, and it might be a good time to mention it then, or create a context as well. If the kid's going to ask about sex and ask about relationships and dating or whatever, or how do I make a girl like me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can go, well, I don't fucking know. Who gives a shit?
How do I make a boy like me? Be awake.
Yeah.
Be awake, maybe pay for the drinks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just either let him come to it, or, you know, talk to his parents about it. But yeah, you can't force the issue.
No.
It's awkward.
No.
Yeah. And he won't listen anyway. He'll be playing PlayStation.
Yeah, that's right.
Here is a here is a very peculiar letter. Dear Talking Puffy, you may recall that some time ago you received a letter from a 42-year-old gentleman inquiring about giving homosexuality a shot. I think you're right. Bette Midler is a bit too much for me at this stage of my homosexual development.
Yeah, it's a trap for young players, that one.
And so I've started getting into Jedward. Probably a bit too much. I have them handcuffed in the spare room. Do I need to feed them or anything?
No, they live off attention. So as long as you go in and look at them every now and then.
Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Love, Bevan. Also, I'd like to say thank you to everybody who, over the last 2 years, has sent us a link to That Boy Is a Bottom video. Yes, we've seen it. Thank you.
I think we may have inspired it.
If you do have Jedward chained up in the back room, no, don't feed them. The sooner they vanish, the better. Do you know what I did on Friday night?
What?
I went round to Jeff's place and we watched every Irish Eurovision.
Ever?
Really?
Yeah, back to back. And Jedward was the high point.
Oh, wow.
You don't realise until you put them all together how bad a country can be.
Oh, God.
Terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Even when they were winning. In the 90s.
Well, even when they were winning in the 90s, but because they won with some terrible, terrible shit.
Right. There was a lot of
candles on pianos and songs about European unity.
They won a lot in that period where Ireland was trendy. Like, where especially Dirt Floor Island was really trendy.
Yeah.
Remember there was that period?
Where the cores were really big.
Also, Commitments had a big...
There was Commitments, there was Enya, there was, well, that... most of the dead characters on the Titanic. The Titanic somehow managed to have an Irish bar in the hold.
Yeah.
Everyone was dancing.
The most unfeasibly stereotypical. Like, they had a Bridie O'Reilly's in the basement of the Titanic.
And also on the Titanic, they had sex in the back of a car. Like, where did you find a car on a boat?
It's like the turducken of sex. Yeah, sex in a car, in a boat.
It was in Kate Winslet, in a car, in a boat.
Ireland had a couple.
And the Riverdance was big at the time as well. Was the
well, Riverdance came out of Eurovision. Yeah. Riverdance came out. Yeah, of, there was a halftime act at 94 Eurovision. Oh, 92 was good with Linda Martin, and 87 was good with Johnny Logan.
Oh, I love Johnny Logan.
But apart from that, everything else was a huge piece of stinking shit.
Yeah, and it was a lot of ballads.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of Celtic ballads.
Yeah, the 90s was all Candles on Pianos and Europe is a country, let us show your light. You know.
Light.
All this kind of shit.
Right.
Were they all wearing white? With Eurovision still just makes
me... That's just terrible. And so comparatively, after all of that, after, you know, 35 years of let's join our hands together. Jedward... Toot-toot-toot. And so many tin whistles. Jedward was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it would have been.
Jesus.
They had 2 years in a row.
Which is like suffocating and then having someone fart in your face as the fresh air.
Well, if that isn't a good sign off for a podcast, I don't know what is. That's about it from us. You can always find out what we're doing, talkingpoofy.com.au. Has anyone got any gigs coming up? No? No. Whatever.
Now this.
This. And we may make an appearance during the comedy festival, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
But, talkingpoofy.com.au for all your Talking Poofy needs. Why you have them, I don't know.
No. I'll have a look at the Facebook page.
Yeah, there's that too. The Facebook page, the Facebook group. Shut up, Seagull. I'm trying to do a podcast.
Those drag queens in the background. Yeah. Making quite some noise.
Tina, your friends are here.
Actually, I think that was just an echo from time of some of their earlier podcasts.
Oh, this is like Interstellar.
Yeah. They're actually coming towards us.
Oh, God. Run, it's the birds.
All right, run for your lives, everyone. Turn it off. Run for your lives.